where we left off.
Last week was awesome.
Yeah. We're in Matthew 26, which begins what we all know, Jesus' betrayal and ultimately his death.
Wait, hold on. What?
Jesus dies.
Jesus dies?
We've been talking about this for 2,000 years now.
Wait, like the Jesus, like this Jesus,
like my favorite character, Jesus. This guy dies. How does he die?
Pretty common knowledge.
Well, it's not common knowledge for me. I just started season two.
Season two? Is he talking about the New Testament?
Well, how does he die? Who betrays him? Who will betray him?
It was one of his disciples.
Don't tell me it was Judas. It was Judas.
30 silver coins.
Well, he comes back to life.
He comes back to life? Oh my gosh.
Let's not take his name in vain.
This book is nuts.
This is an emotional roller coaster, man. This is better than Jack Reacher. Have you ever read Jack Reacher?
It's really good. It's out of the light. You should check it out. It's really good.
I'm ready, man. Okay, Matthew.
I have an unspoken for later on as well, but that's not important.
All right, Matthew 26, everyone. Like I said, Jesus is just about to die.
So, tonight, we continue our series in Back to the Bible. And next week, we've got Andy coming to speak on fake news and how do we trust things and how do we do that. So, next week, please stick around for next week. Not stay here the whole time, but come back next week because it's going to be really awesome. And we conclude this series really well. But looking at the Bible, how do we study it and how do we get the most out of it? And hopefully, for those who have been Christians for a long time, we're able to pick something up. But those who are just starting out or wanting to know more, we're able to get something as well. But let's just first pray. Hey, God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your sacrifice. Lord, we thank you that we have got the Bible in our hands today. And that we live in a country where we can freely and openly look at it. Let us help to study you and open our hearts and minds and continue to talk to us as you have done through the music and through fellowship. In your name, amen. So as I said, the Bible is one of the most greatest books read and ever produced or written over. It's translated into 100 different versions of English. So there's like different types of that, but I'll talk about that in a second there. The first, I mean, 1 Timothy verse says, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may thoroughly be equipped for every good work. It's God-breathed. This book that we have, whatever copy we have, even the little scriptures in the phone that we have, is God-breathed. It is inspiring. It has inspired most of us. And for some times, we struggle to study it. We struggle to look at it. I've heard many excuses, and I've even used the excuses myself to say, I don't really understand it that much, so I'm not going to get into it that much. Or I'm afraid that I'll misunderstand it, and so I don't want to pick it up. Or the fact that I can't figure it out because it's just too deep for me. Or I haven't had any training or schooling in it, so I don't want to pick up a Bible. But the Bible has something for each and every one of us. Now, just a note, neither book has changed my life personally more than the Bible. I'm sure most of you can say the same sort of thing. That God has spoken to me through that I've been able to understand. It's not just a pretty storybook. We went out yesterday to Kurong, and I took Tom with me because he wanted a Bible, and the only Bible he wanted was Lego Bible. We got him that one. That's good. But we also got him because he needs to go to a Christian college, and I need a Bible as well. So, but these Bibles just don't have these pretty pictures in it. And it's not just a pretty book. There's some pretty terrible stuff in there as well. Normal people like you and I doing some wonderful things with God, but also some terrible things away from God. And so we don't just pick up this Bible and think, oh, that's going to be a nice fairy tale and everything's going to be rosy and peachy in there. It's not. It's a roller coaster. It's a roller coaster of emotions, as our friend in the video said. So how do we understand the Bible? How do we get to know the Bible a little bit more? How do we get to know about ourselves more? How do we get to know about God more by reading the Bible? There's a story of the Prince of Granada, and he was heir to a Spanish crown, and he got one time he was sentenced to solitary life in a Madrid prison. The place of the skull, an ancient place, which was fearful, dirty, and dreary. And so everyone knew that once you were in there, you would never come out alive. The prince was given one book to read, and he asked for a copy of the Bible. So for those 3 years, he read it hundreds of times, and the Bible became his constant companion. After 33 years of imprisonment, he died. When they came out to clean out his cell, they found some notes he had written using nails in the mark of a soft stone in the prison. The notations were this sort. It said, Psalms 118, verse 8, is the middle verse of the Bible. Ezra, chapter 7, verse 21, contains all the letters of the alphabet except the letter J. The ninth verse of the eighth chapter of Esther is the longest verse in the whole Bible. No word or name more than six syllables can be found in the Bible. So this Prince of Granada spent his whole life studying the Bible, but not really studying the Bible. Not really what it meant. A psychologist, Scott Udell, originally noted these facts in an article. And he spent 33 years of his life studying what some have described to be the greatest book of all time, yet could only glean trivia. From all we know, he never made a spiritual commitment to God, but became an expert in Bible trivia. How do we not make that first mistake? How do we stop ourselves from picking up a Bible and thinking, oh, this is a great passage, this has got some interesting words or interesting names I can try and pronounce. How do we stop ourselves from doing that? Now, firstly, I've got a bit of a show and tell here tonight. It's good. I raided my bookshelf and just chucked it on here, and I've got some smiles from Linda because she says I haven't picked up some of these books in a long time, but I have. But I've got a bit of a show and tell. And firstly, it doesn't matter what type of Bible you have. Firstly, you know, I've got the Message up here. This is a Bible that I got in the late mid-90s, early 90s, and I still use it. It's got a Triple J sticker on there. It's got some dodgy band from the late Motor Ace. It was a band that I was into back in 1999, I think it was. and it's got notes from different camps that I went on and things like that. So I still get this Bible. I still kept this Bible. And I've got different ones here, like this translation, the Street Bible. So whatever type of Bible you have, it's a great place to start. And again, if you haven't got a Bible, if you haven't got a physical Bible, we would love to give you a Bible. In fact, we've got a few of these out in the East Bay. So this is actually one that you can have. And if you don't like blue and brown as a colour, hey, we've got other colours as well. So if you don't have a physical Bible, we would love to give you one. I've got the Bible app on my phone as well. And so not just have a physical copy now. We can have apps on our phone and we can read the Bible anywhere we are. So if you're looking for an app on the phone, who's got a Bible app on their phone?
Which ones do you use?
It's going to be a bit of interactive. Which one do you use? YouVersion and Blue Letter Bible. Anyone else got any different ones? What was that?
YouVersion.
ESV. I've got Bible Gateway, which is another one as well. NIV. I'm going to go through a bit more Bible apps later on because they're great nowadays. But anyone who's spoken just then and you want a Bible app to go, speak to them and see how, and actually see it in their hand, in their phone if you want to see how good it is and how easy it is to read the Bible anywhere you are. It's one of the luxuries of technology that we don't just have Facebook, we don't just have Instagram, we don't just have Snapchat, we have God's Word wherever we are. And sometimes we take that for granted in itself. Sometimes we don't realize how close we can be to God when we're anywhere. And so if you haven't got an app on the Bible, most of these ones are free. So speak to one of these guys who yelled out before if you haven't got one, or come and speak to me afterwards and we'll tie you up with a Bible app. Or if you haven't got a physical Bible, let us know, because I would love to give you one, and we would love to give you one here. So firstly, have a Bible. Now, there are some tools that I've used that I'm going to use here. I was going to go from bottom to top. I don't know why I put it in that order, but that's the way I'm going to go now. Firstly, small groups. We have got great small groups within this church. We've got awesome small groups. We've got, you know, Ben and Liz have been doing one on a Friday night, alternatively from Energy. So if you're in high school age, come speak to them. Jen and Jane, I don't know who. Is it your Bible study yesterday? Hey, but if you want to be part of a Bible study with them, then speak to them, Matt Carson as well. And there's adult ones as well. There's also ones that that have all ages as well. So if you're not part of a small group that meets regularly to talk about Bible and talk about who you are, be part of one. And if you can't do it on the nights that they run it, there's other ones in the church that will use it as well. So if Friday night doesn't fit with you, we could find one that you'll have some people to talk to on another night as well. Devotional studies. Now, these are great. These are great. Now, I've got this one I picked up ages ago. It's Devotions, Words of Wisdom for the Spiritually Challenged. So I needed that sometimes in my life. But there's also ones that you can use on in small groups like Romans or anything like that. We've got a whole heap in the youth space as well. We've got different ones. So you pick one of those up pretty easily. You've got them on naps as well. Study Bibles. Bibles nowadays are great. Some of these Bibles, the Bibles that I had here, have got some notes in between hand. So you would pick up here, and the Bible's on the top here, and all these little notes on the bottom there. And it's a great way just to get into it, just to learn about it and think what other people have said and research. And there's some other things as well, concordance and Bible dictionaries. Now I am showing off, because this is the interlinear Bible. It's got the Greek and the English as well and everything like that. And then I've got the Hebrew Bible, which starts from the back, because that's the way they do it. But yeah, so if you want to come up and have a look at some of these stuff later on, you can. You're more than happy to. Some of these things have really with my knowledge of God. And some of these things help me whenever I have to do a sermon or talk or preach. Some of these things. And so if you have a gift that you want to explore, or you want to challenge yourself more on how to know God more, then some of these places is a good place to start. Okay? Pick up a great devotional. Pick up a great study book. Pick up a Bible from someone else. As I said, I went to Coorong yesterday to pick up a Bible for Tom, and we were supposed to spend that 10 minutes there, but unfortunately, I had the whole morning planned around it. We were going to go here, and Linda was going to get some shoes at 10:30, but the whole morning was thrown out because we were just looking at stuff. And we're only going to spend like $20 or $30 on the Bible, and lo and behold, $130 later, we come out with all this other sort of stuff. So Linda and I have made a commitment to each other that we're not going to go there too often, because we just want to find stuff. And so again, if you haven't been to Coorong and you want to do a group trip, ask someone along. Ask someone to come along. Liz is putting her hand up there. I'm sure she'd be happy to drive anyone there. What were you yesterday? We would love to go along. We would love to help you to know God a little bit better through the books, through the CDs, through the DVD. As I said, we bought a Lego DVD as well, the Christian Bible in Lego. I haven't seen it yet. I'm not too sure what it's going to be like, but it's going to be great. I'm going to have a movie night with Tom and Beth. It's going to be great. But go along to these places and pick up something. Now, some of the Bible apps that we talked about before, Bible Gateway, Blue Letter Bible, Bible by Life Church, some of these ones have what these some of the things we've been talking about, like the concordances, the lexicons, the commentaries, So they're great to have. And about those things as well is that you can make your own notes in some of them. So if something stands out to you, you can say, oh, look, God said this to me in this. And so it's a great place to start. As I said before, technology is a wonderful thing nowadays. We take it for granted. We can have all these Bible study tools and things that get us closer to God right at the fingertips. But we don't do it. A good thing to do that I noticed that some of you guys have is a journal or a notebook or notes on your phone that when you do read the Bible, open it up and scribe or draw pictures. Hey, Kate. Because I love your pictures. I love them. And sometimes a picture says 1,000 words. But it does. The way that we talk to God, the way that God speaks to us, we can journal, we can take notes, we can draw pictures. It's a great thing to have. So one page is X and the other one's a blank page? Is that how it looks?
No, it's got like a blank spot on the side so you can doodle.
That's awesome.
Kuhong, my dude.
Exactly, Kuhong. So if you do that, you know, whatever helps you connect, whatever highlighter you have, whatever underline, whatever you do, just pick it up and help to use it. That's all good and dandy. But what if you don't have those? Now it's going to be like a Jesus coming in and clearing the table off and get rid of all this sort of stuff there. No, I won't do that. But, what?
Put the table.
Nah. But what happens if all you've got is a Bible? Or all you've got is your phone? And you haven't got those concordances, you haven't got the lexicon, you haven't got anything else. You can still have a great time with God. You can still learn a lot about Him just through picking up His Word and reading it. As I said, it has inspired many people in this life. Now, the age has inspired people. And I want to give you a little acronym to do that, and some of you might know it. Susanna, apparently Susanna knows it well. But it is SOAP. She rolled her eye, because apparently she's done lots of it. But it does stand for Scripture, Observation, Application and Prayer. And James, can I get you to play that other video? Thank you very much.
Here at Foursquare, we use a method called SOAP for our devotions. The SOAP method, or S-O-A-P, is an easy way to reflect on what you learn from your devotions. We start with our S, Scripture, where we single out a specific passage from our reading. O is for observation. This is where we highlight what stood out in this Scripture to us and why we chose it. A is application. After reflecting on this Scripture, we write down how we can apply this to our lives. And finally, P stands for prayer. This is where we take the time to write down our prayer. This can be about what our reading is or something personal. Using this method makes it quick and easy to write down what God is speaking to you with the intention of applying it to your life.
Now, as a group, we're going to do one of these, but I just want to talk about this quickly as well. In your observations, it can be anything.
It can be anything to say, hey,
I don't even agree what's going on here. I'm not too sure what's going on, so I need to check it out with someone else. They can say, yes, that really touched me. That really is powerful what it said there. It could be, I'm not too sure what it means. I'm going to seek some other help. I'm going to do something else. It's just as long as you take a mental note of it. And you think about it and then apply it to your Bible. Some things might be really easy to apply it to your life. But other things you might think, whoa, how does this apply to my life? And it's without context and all this other sort of stuff. And prayer is pretty simple. Just to pray over it and think what God has said to you or God is going to say to you through that moment as well. So we're going to do it as together, as a group here. And I want you to yell out and scream what you think, what things mean. So we're going to pack up a different verse here. Deuteronomy 32, verses 46 to 47. It says, Moses said to them, take to the heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of the law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So this is Old Testament. So what stands out to you guys in there? What's some observations that you stands out to you in that little passage there?
Beginning of the law-based society.
Yep. There's no right or wrong answers here. We can just yell it out.
The word solemnly.
Solemnly?
Not just idle words.
Not just idle words? That's, yes. So for those who might have known a little bit more about the passage, what sort of stuff's behind this? What sort of stuff's happening at this time? Again.
Moses is prepping them to go across the Jordan and take their land. The promised land.
Yes. So this goes back into the whole, it brings up images of the whole Prince of Egypt and that wonderful cartoon movie that I've seen with my kids every now and again, but also other sort of stuff. But yeah, and then God and Moses leading them through. And so it brings back images of that. It brings back thoughts about that. And then now he's taking them to there.
Is this at the end when they're
going there,
or is this beginning after 40 days or after 40 years?
They're just about to step into it. I think, from memory, yeah, it is, yeah. I was just stepping into it. You guys, it's PG's reader. No, but it is, they're just stepping into it. And so it is about that God's given them these words. That God has spoken to Moses, and Moses is sharing this with other people and saying, hey, guys, listen to what God's saying. And not just anything else that is said, but these are words that you can live for. These are words that will change your life. They're not just idle words. They're not just like a little conversation I'm having with you now or a little pep talk that'll pick you up for the next quarter before you go out and play another game. It's idle. They're not idle words. They're words for your life. And so Moses is saying that to the people now. And so after the observations, how do we apply it? How can we apply that little thing of that little scripture verse? What does that say to you in how can we apply it to our life?
Live by the word.
Live by the word, yep.
Remember it.
Sorry? Remember it, yep.
Pass it on.
But it's okay to observe those things. It is really okay to observe those things. And what it might be saying is that if you don't live by these rules and live by your own space, your own things, and you keep on starting wars and fights and fights within each other, that you might kill each other or you might do other things to each other or your life might be shortened because of your other ways. So it could be saying some of that sort of stuff. Pass along to people younger than you. Take it seriously. Just those two little verses, we've come up with so much good gems in here. And so much that we can just keep it to us. Like we can take these words and it can change our lives. And as we talk about how we study the Bible tonight, this is like it. This is like they're not just idle words. Just as Moses stepped into the promised land and it changed people's lives forever. And they had hurdles up and down. The same sort of words changed our lives. And so tonight we wanted to give you some tips and tools on how to study it and the importance of the Bible. And as you see in these little few verses, and I go back to the Timothy, the verse we had at the start, that every scripture is and it will change your life. It takes time, it takes effort to do that. And sometimes it can be a bit of a slog. But that's what we're supposed to be as a community. Help each other out, inspire each other. And so if you do need help to help study the Bible, join a small group or talk to your small group about it. If you haven't got a Bible, talk to us about getting a Bible. But Lord, let us just continue to let him speak to us through this word. And so let's just pray. Hey God, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that it is inspiring, that it is touching, that it is God-breathed. And Lord, let us each be inspired and encouraged to pick up your word more. Whether it's an actual physical Bible or downloading an app where we can look at you more. Through this book, you have inspired and changed people's lives. Continue to do that within us. And we just pray these things in your name. Amen.